Scripture reading is from Deuteronomy chapter 14, 1 through 3. It's not very long, so you don't have to turn there unless you want to read it. If everybody will stand, I will read it to you. Ye are the children of the Lord your God. Ye shall not cut yourselves, nor make any baldness between your eyes for the dead. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. And the Lord has chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself above all the nations that are upon the earth. Thou shalt not eat any abominable thing. You may be seated. This is the beginning of the chapter that tells the Israelites what they are to eat and what they are forbidden to eat. Now, why are they to do this? Because they are a holy people unto the Lord. If you eat any of the foods that are abomination to the Lord, it is because you don't want to be a holy people. I ate a lot of the food. I ate all the foods that God says don't eat, just about. I don't think I was a holy person. So what we eat is to be found in the Bible. But where do we find all the other answers to our life? I hope you don't go to Dr. Phil. I hope you didn't go to Dr. Laura or Oprah. Or do we write to someone like Dear Abby? Or do we go to any psychologist or psychiatrist? Do we go to someone who can read our palms? Or read the stars? Or do we read our own horoscopes? When I was young, in my preteens and my teenage years, I, like most, maybe most people in here, I don't know, I'd hurry home and read the newspaper because there they had the horoscope and I would try to see how true they were. I didn't know it was against God's laws. You see, in this world, you've got two main forces. A forces of evil, which includes, number one, the politicians, business leaders, all the sports world, musicians, preachers, educators, and on it goes. And there are the forces of good. God the Father, His Son, the Holy Spirit, and the people whom he leads, and so forth. Where do we find the answers to questions that we have about our life? They're found right here. No place else. Now, our first transparency is Deuteronomy 18, verses 9 through 12. When thou art come into the land which the Lord giveth thee. What? When thou art come into the land that who gives it thee? Our God gives thee. God gave us the land? Well, back to our old ancestors, he did. Thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. What abominations were we not to do? There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire. You don't sacrifice your children. Or that use divination. Or an observer of times. Or an enchanter. Or a witch. Or a charmer. Or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination to the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Oh, because who did God drive out of the land? He drove out the Canaanites. It was called Canaan land. Why? Because they performed the abominations unto the Lord. Have you ever heard of a witch or a wizard or a charmer or a consulter with familiar spirits and so forth? Can you name any politician, music owners, singers, players, sport players and owners, business leaders, music singers and dancers, education leaders that are being led by familiar spirits? Now, Psalm chapter 2, a transparency. Look at what this says. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers do what? Take counsel together? Why? Against the Lord and against his anointed people? The rulers take counsel together against our God and against us? That's what it says. And they say, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Buddy, that's a huge charge. When it says take counsel together, that's a conspiracy. They take counsel against our God and us, his covenant people. Who does that? Said the rulers do. You think they're still doing that? Are they still taking counsel against our God and against his people? The next verse says, let us break their bands asunder. I'll just touch on one part of this. Break the bands of marriage. And I'll talk on one thing. Same-sex marriage is being pushed by who's pushing it? By the government. That is a conspiracy. Nancy Pelosi, who's a Canaanite, she complained that her state, the state of California, did what the people wanted. They declined the politically correct view on same-sex marriage. But she's dead wrong. I believe that Nancy Pelosi is being led by familiar spirits. The Freemasons, their main symbol is the square and the compass. Sandy Hook has a Freemasonic lodge that's located just on the other side of the woods from Sandy Hook Elementary. Couldn't be much closer. It's called Hiram Lodge Number 18. They swear themselves to what? Secrecy. Does that sound Christian to you? In a book written by Albert Pike, Morals and Dogma, in the introduction, he says that this is an esoteric book to be given only to Freemasons. Now, we have his book. It was only to be given to Freemasons. Now, the Bible was only to be given to Israelites, those who are descendants of Adam. The occult means secret. Albert Pike, in his book for Freemasons Only, Morals and Dogma, page 101, says, the grand arcanium of that secret whose revelation would overturn earth and heaven. Let no one to expect us to give its explanation. Listen to this. He who passes behind the veil that hides this mystery. Well, who do you know was behind the veil? The Wizard of Oz. understand that it's in its very nature inexplicable or unexplainable, and that it is death to those who win it by surprise, as well as to him who reveals it. So the Freemasons are very careful not to tell people what the secret of their organization is. Masonry, like all religions, all the mysteries, conceals its secrets from all except the adepts and sages, or what they call the elect, and uses false explanations and misinterpretations of its symbols to mislead those who deserve only to be misled, to conceal the truth, which it calls, what they call truth, light. Light from the torch. See, Lady Liberty has got the light of Freemasonry. Truth is not for those who are unworthy or who are unable to accept it, or who would take the truth and pervert it. So Masonry jealously conceals its secrets and intentionally leads conceited interpreters astray. Now I've got Mainly Hall in his book, The Secret Teachings of All Ages. It's from page 38, and it says the following. The book to which this is the interpretation is dedicated to the proposition that concealed within the emblematic figures, allegories, and rituals of the ancients is a, what kind of doctrine? A secret doctrine concerning the inner mysteries of life, which doctrine has been preserved in total among a small band of initiated minds since the beginning of the world. I left off the next paragraph. Departing, these illumined philosophers left their formula that others too might attain to understanding. But lest these secret processes fall into uncultured hands and be perverted, the great arcanum was always concealed in symbol or allegory. And those who can day discover its lost keys may open with them a treasure of philosophic, scientific, and religious truths. The square and the compass reveal the secrets of Freemasons. The one that really understand what they mean are known as the Illuminati. Now we go to a scripture, Deuteronomy 13, verses 6 through 11. Read what this says. If your brother, the son of your mother, or your son or your daughter, or the wife of thy bosom, or thy friend. So it covers pretty much the whole family, right? Entice thee secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods. See, that's a big thing that Israel was against. They were not allowed to serve other gods. Which thou hast not known, thou nor thy father, namely of the gods of the people which are round about you, near unto thee, or far off from thee, from one end of the earth even to the other end of the earth. Thou shalt not consent unto him, nor hearken unto him, neither shall thy eye pity him, neither shall thou spare, neither shall thou conceal him. Now here's one of your family member who comes and says, let's go to the secret meeting to serve other gods. But what should you do? What should you do to a family member who says this? but thou shalt surely kill him. What? Capital punishment? Thy hand shall be first upon him to put him to death, and afterwards the hand of all the people. And thou shalt stone him with stones that he die, because he has sought to thrust thee away from the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. And all Israel shall hear and fear and shall do no more any such wickedness as this among you. Buddy, that would stop it. We wouldn't have a lodge in every town in America if that was done. Well, what does our God say to do to someone, even a family member, who tries to get you to go to a secret meeting about what it is that we are to worship? When it says to entice thee secret, to entice thee to worship other gods, God says, don't go. Now, 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 9. And the children of Israel did secretly those things that were not right against the Lord their God. Notice those pronouns, their God. And they built them high places in all their cities, from the tower of the watchman to the fenced city. Well, Israel did it. Israel basically, you can find, ignored God and what he said to do. And don't we have our own little secret sins against the Lord? And what does a bar look like? Is it very brightly lit like it is here? Or is it kind of dark? In fact, there are more sins that are committed after midnight. But there are many hoaxes that are performed just like a movie, right before our very faces. And the illustration I'm going to give you happened on December 14th. I'm asking a question. Are there people connected to the Sandy Hook Elementary School massacre that are involved with familiar spirits? Is there a war going on that the Christian world as a whole has no clue about? Almost all the people who were on the multitude, I mean multitude of stations that broadcasted from Sandy Hook, were influenced by demonic spirits. The first picture. There were two Canaanite parents of two students who supposedly went to Sandy Hook Elementary School. Their name was Mr. and Mrs. Phelps. They're right up here. But they were also known as Mr. and Mrs. Sexton from Florida. Their mother was also the lawyer for the shooter at the Aurora Theater massacre. Her father-in-law was Dallas Green, whose granddaughter was murdered, supposedly, at the shopping center where Guilford was severely injured and a judge was murdered. But was she murdered? Her picture was a lot younger than she was then and now. You can see her in the family albums of Jennifer Sexton. Oh, now they are deleted. Her grandmother was one of the victims of Guilford's shooting incident. And one of Dallas Green's, a former Philadelphia Phillies player and manager, he managed them in the World Series, grandchild was supposedly murdered in the Casey Anthony case. Remember that case? Dallas Green changed his name from Michael Greenberg. They have taken part in many drills. Now, Robbie Parker is another one. He starred the fun for his murdered, supposed daughter, before he even knew that she was on the casualty list. He did it the afternoon of the murders. She cannot be found in any photos of the first grade school class. Now, the Parkers are Mormons, remember them? From Utah. Mormons, extreme Zionists, or Canaanites. They moved to the area less than 2 years ago. Now, she was supposedly buried in Utah next to her grandfather. The funeral was private. Just a few family members and friends. Does anybody know who Robert Parker works for? I'll give you a clue. It's a division of, quote, the biggest company that you never heard of, unquote. Does anybody know the biggest company you never heard of? I never heard of it either. It's Serco, S-E-R-C-O. This company owns all the traffic lights in London and Dublin. They are the largest air traffic controllers in the world. They control 54 different towers just in the United States. They control Baghdad's airspace. They control the RAF squadron for the Queen of England. They run transportation lines, metros, bus routes. They even control private prisons, run major school boards, control ballistic missiles in England, and are even in control of the Greenwich Time. They are a major international company which has grown 1,200% since 1994. Go on and on about this company. Anybody see this picture of this little girl down here? Who is she? She was supposed to be one of the victims of Sandy Hook. It's her picture. She was identified as being Allison Wyatt. But when her mother saw the picture and saw it was her daughter, she was in shock. Her picture was hijacked from her mother's website. If you go and look at the picture now, they got a different picture. The picture has been replaced by Mrs. Galbert. It was a misidentification. See, it's the very same thing that happened in what? 9/11. Remember the FBI released all the Arabs on the plane? Half of them complained that they were still alive. Oh, then we have, this guy gives me an absolute upset stomach. Lieutenant Paul Vance of the Connecticut State Police. You know what he said at one of his press conferences? And I got the whole thing right here, what he said. I've never heard anyone say this before. Quote, one thing that's becoming somewhat of a concern, and that is misinformation is being posted on social media sites. It's important to know that we have discussed with federal authorities that these issues are crimes. And they will be investigated statewide and federally, and prosecution will take place when people perpetrating this information are identified. Again, all information relative to this case is coming from these microphones. And any information coming from any other sources cannot be confirmed, and in many cases has been found to be inaccurate. So I simply, that is the newest twist today, that we want to make sure is perfectly clear that social media websites that contain information relative to this case are not being posted by the Connecticut State Police, are not being posted by the Newtown Police. Well, they haven't said anything about the case, and are not posted by any other authorities in this case. So any of that information And people putting that information up there in any manner that can be construed a violation under state and federal law and will be investigated and prosecuted. All I can say, Lieutenant Vance needs to investigate and prosecute his own officers and himself. But that'd be another sermon. But the most demonically influenced actor of all, who do you think that was? There's a lot of candidates for this. Gene Rosen. Or Eugene Rosenfeld. A member of the Screen Acting Club, and he's also a FEMA member. You think he's a candidate? I say he is. Oh, he's taken what vow? The vow of Kol Nidre. He's a liar, a consistent liar who has no remorse. I'll just run through this kind of quickly. In one of his many contradictory interviews, this guy got on every station I think that was out there. He said that the school bus driver had just left the kids off at the front of his house. In other interviews, he said he didn't know why they were there. But there was a man yelling at them saying, "It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay." The man said this very loud. "So I walked down my driveway to see what was happening. I thought that the children were part of a Cub Scout or a Girl Scout skit. When I arrived there, the man left. The children were frightened, and Mr. Rosen told them to go into his house." It's a long driveway, by the way. "He didn't call the police. He didn't call the school. He didn't call anybody. Now, there were two boys and four girls." In other interviews, he said there were three boys and three girls. Or if you saw the other interview, he said there were four girls and two boys. "When he got him into the house, they began to start talking and they were crying." Let's think about this situation before I go on. The children began to tell him what happened at school. Now, all the bus driver had told them. Now, it's either a female or a male bus driver, depending on what interview you heard, that there was an incident at the school. All of these six children were from whose class? Ms. Soto's class. The class where the microphones of state police said that 6 out of 15 students, or 16 students, counting Emily Parker, were murdered. So there was either 9 or 10 that escaped the murderer. Where were the other 3 or 4 students who were not murdered? And one of the 6 who was murdered included Emily Parker, who was not found in any of the school photos of the class. The first responders, according to the web scan of the police, arrived at 9:36 a.m. Do you think they would allow these 6 students to walk or run all the way to Mr. Rosen's house? Or if they're picked up by a school bus, they would go first past the firehouse and then drop them off there and then just leave and let them go up to Mr. Rosen's house? My question, who were these 6 students? We know they're from Ms. Soto's class, who had part of her class massacred. Why hasn't any television station done a little bit of investigating? They know what class they were a member of, and they go and find and interview them. This would be all that is needed to put some credibility into Mr. Rosen's account. Mr. Rosen said they were in his house for about 30 to 40 minutes. One of the children, sometimes he said it was a boy. In other interviews, he said it was a girl. But they cried and said, We can't go back to school. Our teacher is dead. There was blood coming out of her nose. Miss Soto is dead. Mr. Rosen, who said he didn't know the teacher, said in a couple of interviews that she was 27 years old. In a couple of his interviews, he told of taking the children next door to the fire station. It was there that the parents picked them up. In other interviews, he told how the parents retrieved the children at his home. Did anybody ever see Mr. Rosen's wife? I didn't. And he didn't mention her while he kept the children at his house. Gee, if I brought six children in, I'd ask for my wife to have a little help. While there, he related how they all called their own homes, but they got the answering machine. But then Mr. Canaanite Rosen told the interviewer that he didn't mention how he knew, but he said he supposed the school bus driver called his or her supervisor, who looked up the phone numbers, and her supervisor actually got in contact with the parents. Not one television station went to find out who the bus driver was, or maybe there was no bus driver at all. And who the supervisor? That wouldn't be hard. Who's the school bus supervisor? In other interviews, he said the parents picked up the children at his house. While lamenting in almost all his interviews, he said, there is what? There is light after the darkness. He desired to be, quote, the light to these children who were in terrible darkness. Why did Mr. Rosen begin speaking these words? Because they're Masonic. Does he have a relationship to the local Masonic lodge, which is only a little couple places down from his house? Is there a lodge in Sandy Hook? Very close to his home. He could walk there. And the woods behind the elementary school is the Masonic Lodge. It is called Hiram Lodge Number 18, and it was established. Does anybody know what year it was established? 2 years after the Constitution of the United States was ratified, 1791. It was built 165 years before the elementary school was built. In October 26th, the year 2000, his father-in-law had his obituary in the local paper. He was an avid Mason. His name is Robert E. Fairfield. He was all kinds of different Masons, including the Royal Order of Jesters and a member of the Scottish Rite Choir. And, of course, he was a member of Lodge 18. He's buried in the Masonic Cemetery. His wife also was active in the Masons' Organization for Women. He died 5 years later. Now, the next transparency tells about the Masons. Freemasons in Newtown, Connecticut are involved in collecting what? DNA and fingerprints of children in order to protect them from, now quote, a comprehensive child identification tool designed to give families a measure of protection against the ever-increasing problem of missing children. Wow. The Connecticut Freemasons are bringing this fine program to communities throughout Connecticut at no cost to the families. Wow. And there's more. The purple pack includes a DVD RAM disc, which has a video of your child and a still photo, your child's fingerprints, a dental impression, and a dental swab, unquote. Oh, it kind of sounds like the mark of the beast, doesn't it? And do you know there are collective agencies for contributions to the Sandy Hook school tragedy? Now that one would come up. There's their website. And it says to make a donation to the Newtown Family Relief Fund via the Connecticut Freemasons Foundation. A what? A 501c3 charity? Same as the churches. Using your credit card or PayPal account, please use the button below. And you notice the symbol that's used all over Sandy Hook. The Brothers of Hiram Lodge, number 18, wish to express our deepest sympathies to all those suffering as a result of the Sandy Hook Elementary School tragedy. Oh, they say that their prayers continue. Who are they praying to? We wish to inform the Masonic community that through the assistance of the most worshipful Grand Lodge of ancient free and accepted Masons of the state of Connecticut, an account has been established for those wishing to contribute relief funds. If you prefer to make a contribution using a check, please make your checks payable to the Connecticut Freemason Foundation, which is a 501c3 charity. And goes on, gives the addresses. Oh, so they have the, they're collecting money for Sandy Hook. On and on it goes. There's so much to Sandy Hook that it would take hours to tell you all about it. But for short, number one, who and how many shooters were there? Adam, they said he died on December 13th. That's a day before the murders. And there's a possibility that they did chase people out in the woods. There had to be more than one shooter. When did the gunman or gunmen arrive at school? How did the gunman fire so many shots in so little time and be so accurate? And he wasn't even a gun shooter. His death toll far surpasses any school massacre in the nation. 26 out of 27 people. Where's the photo and video evidence? Why were medical personnel turned away from the crime scene? A nurse testified she couldn't even go in the building. Did a mass evacuation of the school take place? I didn't see any. Did Adam drive his mother's car? Well, a license tag said the car belonged to a person guilty of 7 felonies. And there was a Canaanite, Noah Posner, who was supposedly shot 11 times by the AR-15. When her mother was being interviewed, she continually talked about what? Gun control. Would you do that if your son or daughter had just been murdered and the next day you're talking to an interviewer and you talk about gun control? No tears. Well, there's many, many more, but let's get off Sandy Hook. You know what else happened this past week? Oh, all kinds of stuff happened, but Rosa Parks became the first black woman to have what made for her and put in Capitol Hall. Statue. And she sits across the glaze of the Confederate president, Jefferson Davis. Now they had John Boehner, is that right? Boehner? Boehner. Yes. Maybe Boehner's a better name for the guy. Boehner, he gave one of his 3-minute speeches, and he said, quote, "We speak for a nation committed to remembering, and more importantly, emulating Rosa Parks." He compared her statue with the Statue of Liberty. Now, we got a picture of that. The Statue of Liberty is a goddess that was given to the United States by the Freemasons of France. Boehner went on in his speech to say that, quote, I can think of no more perfect way to capture the vision of a more perfect union and to continue what Rosa Parks started. What? Does he really believe this? Rosa Parks was also honored a month ago with her picture of her upper half put on a stamp. But Rosa Parks was a Communist Party member who worked as a secretary for the NAACP, which is nothing more than a communist Canaanite Jewish banker front. Her refusal to move to the back of the bus was staged by her handlers. Boehner pictured Rosa Parks as a simple person whose lonely acts of defiance in 1955 sparked the beginning of the civil rights movement. But Boehner didn't mention that she was a trained communist Canaanite party activist. Her refusal to move to the back of the bus wasn't a spontaneous gesture, but a provocation organized by her long-term employer, the NAACP, which was headed by a Canaanite leader. The cameraman just so happened to be right there near the bus. In the year 2005, her body lay in state under the Capitol Rotunda, an honor accorded only 29 times in United States history to people like Abraham Lincoln, John Kennedy, and most recently Ronald Reagan. So she's under the, that's where she's buried. Now here's the important part. This treatment illustrates how the American public is routinely deceived and betrayed by its political leaders and the mass media. I'll repeat that. This treatment illustrates how the American public is routinely deceived and betrayed by political leaders and the mass media. The New York Times obituary said her arrest, quote, turned a very private woman into a reluctant symbol and torchbearer, unquote. Wouldn't it have been good to hear Boehner say that she was an active member of the Communist Party? The Women's Liberation Movement was also patterned on the Civil Rights Movement. They're both off-the-shelf Canaanite psychosocial operations. To be effective, they must appear to reflect a popular God swell rather than an elite agenda imposed from above. The Canaanites put their heroes in statues, on stamps, and give a prominent place of burial. They are honored. A question for every Christian to answer. Is God a respecter of persons? The Canaanites had lived in the land of Canaan for many centuries. Yet the Old Testament very plainly told us that God had decided to kill all of them and to give the land, the promised by him land, to his covenant people, the Israelites. God chose how many people? He chose only one people, Israel. He would give other people's ransom for the lives of Israel. God takes from others their homes, vineyard, orchards of the Canaanites, and gives it to the Israelites. God took the land and possessions of the Canaanites and gave them to his people Israel. My question is why? It's because the Canaanites had intermarried with the forbidden seed, the descendants of Cain, non-Adamite, and other non-covenant seed. They were nothing more than squatters on the land for centuries before God's people Israel took it over. When Israel crossed the Jordan River, they immediately sent two spies out to check out the land, which included the city of Jericho. What was the purpose of the two spies that were sent out? I say, in light of God's plan for the Battle of Jericho, spies weren't needed. God would fight the Battle of Jericho for Israel. And any and all information the spies could gather would be entirely irrelevant. God said that the Battle of Jericho would be the first fruits and would be for him only. All of the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come unto the treasury of the Lord. That's Joshua 6:19. Now, after Israel marched around the city 13 times on 7 days, the seven priests of God blew the seven trumpets. And then the people of Israel shouted. You know what happened. The mighty walls of Jericho came tumbling down. Not, but there was one place it stood. Utterly destroyed all that was in the city. Both men and women, young and old, ox and sheep, ass with the edge of the sword. Joshua 6:21. So what was the purpose of the two spies in going to Jericho? Maybe it was to save Rahab and her family, who were Israelites, from the city of the Canaanites. It's very similar to the time Lot and his family were the only ones that were saved from the Sodomite Sodom and all the neighboring cities from the fire and brimstone that came from who? God himself. The two spies went immediately to the inn of Rahab, and there they hid. After the king of Jericho heard the spies were in Rahab's inn and sent for them. What did Rahab do? She lied to the king and said they had previously been there, but they had just left. Now, they were upstairs in the attic, hidden under some straw. She advised them to hurry after them, for they had a good opportunity to catch them. Why did Rahab do this? For she knew the Lord had given the Israelites the land, and that their terror had fallen upon the inhabitants of the land. For they had heard of how the Lord had dried up the water of the Red Sea when they came out of Egypt, and what they had done to the two giant kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of the Jordan River. For our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, the Lord your God, he is the God in heaven above and in the earth beneath. And that's from Joshua 2, verses 9 through 11. It's not a direct quote. Then Rahab asked for and received a kindness for a kindness. Since she was responsible for saving their two lives, she asked them to save the lives of her and her immediate family, her father and mother, and brothers and sisters. They agreed. As long as you don't tell anybody, you'll be saved. Now, she let them down the outside of the wall by a cord through her window. and she told them to go to the mountain and wait 3 days. For in that time the pursuers would return, and it would be safe for them to return to the camp of the Israelites. So the two spies were delivered by the scarlet cord that hung on the outside of Jericho's wall. Down the cord they made their escape and eventually made it back to the camp of the Israelites. When Israel marched around Jericho, Rahab had her family inside her inn, so that when the walls came crashing down, the room with the scarlet cord remained intact while the rest of the wall tumbled down. The scarlet cord could have represented her descent from Zerah of the tribe of Judah, although there is no direct scripture which says this. But she definitely was an Israelite. Do you remember what it said in Genesis chapter 9, verses 25 through 27? And he, being Noah, said, "Cursed be who? Canaan. Cursed be Canaan. A servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren." And he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of," who? Shem. "And Canaan shall be his servant. God shall enlarge the third brother, Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant." It is very interesting to note that God is said to be only the God of Shem, not the God of Japheth or the God of Canaan. It's the God of Shem. This is a doctrine which is hardly ever mentioned anymore in the apostate Christian church. Predestination. Japheth, although honorable, would eventually apostatize and mongrelize. Ham is ignored as being non-existent. Though Canaan was prophesied to be the servant of Shem, the curse was partially lifted in the descendants of Esau. "And by the sword shalt thou live, and shalt serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass, when thou shalt have the dominion, that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck." That's where we are now. The Bible records the saving of Rahab and her family after the destruction of Jericho. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot, the innkeeper, alive, and her father's household, and all that she had. Then what happened to her? "And she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua had sent to spy out Jericho." Rahab was an Israelite, not a Canaanite. When the Israelites entered the promised land, God had commanded Moses in Deuteronomy that when they went out to battle and conquer any people of the same kin, they could offer them peace if they surrendered and put them to tribute. But this did not apply to any Canaanite people. God specifically stated concerning the Canaanites that they were to be utterly exterminated. "But of the cities of these people, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance, thou shalt save alive nothing that breatheth." That's Deuteronomy 20:16. Now the next transparency. It says clearly in the first city in Canaan against which they went to war. That was Jericho. In the very first battle in which God gave them utterly victory without Israel doing anything except marching and blowing trumpets. Certainly, they would not have disobeyed God's commands. And certainly, God would have not given them the victory if Rahab had been a Canaanite. Because in advance of the conquest, the spies had promised Rahab and her family that they would be spared. God could not have blessed the conquest of Jericho if from the start they had made plans to violate God's adamant command. Rahab was placed in the book of Hebrews, chapter of the Hall of Faith. It's chapter 11 of Hebrews. It was by faith that Rahab perished not when the inhabitants of Jericho, when the walls came supernaturally down. But she and her family were saved because she had received the two spies with peace. After being placed into the camp of the Israelites, Rahab eventually married unto the covenant seed, a seed from which eventually our Savior came. Well, the battle and the war continues on. Beware of the Canaanites, for they fight by deception. Be not deceived, was the warning and admonition given to us by Jesus Christ. None other than the soldiers of the Canaanites, or I could say communism, could have created and unleashed the most hideous genocidal killing machine the world has ever seen. These so-called Canaanites or Jews are not the descendants of the biblical Israelites, but rather imposters who are actually a synagogue of Satan and little sons and offspring of the devil. As with their father, they have the same desire to steal, to murder, and to destroy. Communism is still very much alive today, especially where? In the United States. With Jews in power in all sectors of political finance, education, religion, and is nothing more than a further development of Judaism and the age-old satanic conspiracy and a vehicle for implementing the Canaanite, satanic, Jewish agenda of theft, genocide, and destruction for a new world order or a one world government. Obama is part of the Jewish one world order. He is a communist born to a communist family. The Jews make up one third of the Supreme Court, while the other six members are Roman Catholic. They have 22 members of the House with 136 Roman Catholics and 11 members of the Senate with 27 Roman Catholics. But they control all segments of the United States government. You can't blame the 19 Arabs flying in four hijacked airplanes because Building 7 was not hit by any airplane. It was not damaged very much by any debris from the fallen two towers. But it came down in 7 seconds. What? A 47-story building came down in 7 seconds? Wake up! The purpose of the destruction of these buildings was to get America into a war against the Arabs. Oh, it was just another Canaanite-influenced operation, wasn't it? Do you understand the importance of both testaments of the Bible? Are we like Israel of old? Are the Canaanites like they were of old? Let's listen to what our God says. For he loves us, the covenant seed of Israel. And he hates the Canaanites, the enemy of both him and his people. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel.